coming up on All Access.
I never forget you. Hope you never forget me. And I love you.
When I did get cut in 1994, I missed it tremendously. And I was telling myself then, if I ever get another opportunity to be in that situation again, it won't be easy for them to cut me again, that's for sure.
They've done a good job of becoming more explosive and that's showing up in the first two games.
Because of his lack of size, he knew that he was going to have to be perfect and be a technician in order to move up the ranks.
Yeah, I think we're just hungry. You know, guys are ready to get back out there on the field and play a game.
Patriots fans were stunned on Sunday when the Patriots lost their first home opener at Gillette Stadium. Welcome to Patriots All Access, everyone. I'm Steve Burton. After a disappointing defeat, the Patriots must regroup as they take on the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night. We'll preview the rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, but first we'll relive the Arizona game with a look back at the sights and sounds.
The sights and sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the Patriots.
It's that time. It's that time, baby.
We got to ball out, make plays, and stay together.
Stop the run. Run the ball.
We got a big boy.
It is a handoff to Ridley again. Up the middle, finds running room inside the 25, falls forward all the way down. Wow, this kid is good.
Good job. We'll keep going at it. We'll keep going at it, right?
I like the way we're playing. We got to balance it up with the inside run, okay?
Extra snap, back to throw. Steps up, going to run with it, and going to be hit and dropped, and the ball is on the ground, and the Patriots have recovered at their own 48-yard line. Tavon Wilson.
Let's go. We got enough to win. Let's get it.
We got to get it down there, and we got to get seven. We can't be satisfied with anything less.
Hey, just got to get one at a time now.
Offense going to score. We got to get them out there and get the ball back.
Brady, play action fake on first down. Fires up the field. Gronkowski has it at the 50 to the 48-yard line. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, the rush, fires, end zone, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
This is as gotta have it as it gets.
Somebody make a play, let's go.
The toss sweep comes to the near side to Williams. Oh man, he is classic. Oh. Ball on the ground. Patriots we have recovered.
Way to keep fighting, baby. Way to keep fighting.
6 seconds to go. Snap, ball down, kick up. Kick is on the way. Kick is no good. My goodness.
This conversation with Bill Belichick is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now to talk to the coach. Coach Belichick joins me now. And go back to this time last week. You know, Arizona's coming to town, and you sat here, you told me, hey, they won 8 games. It's a tough team, tough up front. Some people feel maybe you guys came out flat a little bit. Fair to say at all? Or, you know, maybe ignoring the noise a little bit?
Well, I don't think it was our best. It wasn't our best effort. And in the end, it just wasn't good enough. So we got to do better.
Offensively, you lose a guy like Aaron who does so much for your game plan. You know, centers around a lot of things that you like to do, you like to design. Is that tough losing a player like that regarding any position? You know, and then you got to adjust as the game goes on.
It's not anything that you want to happen, but unfortunately that's the reality of pro football, and ultimately it does happen somewhere along the line at some position during the season from game to game. So we all know we have to be ready to adjust. That's why when we go to the game, everybody's got to be ready to go, and you never know when those kind of situations are going to come up, when there's going to be an injury or The game plan's going to change because of something your opponent's doing. Things are going to be a little different than the way you practice them all week. So being able to adjust is a big part of it.
Deion Branch is back. I think we all know about what Deion brings to the table. Kellen Winslow, you signed. What kind of player is he, and can he have an impact, say, Sunday night when you take the field in Baltimore?
Well, we'll see. We'll take a look at the week of practice and see where he is, what he's able to do, and how he would fit in. That's a player that hasn't been in our system, in our program before. We haven't coached Kellen, so we'll see how it all comes together. I don't know.
All right, thanks, Coach. Coach will be back later in the show to talk about the Baltimore Ravens. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We'll check in on a wounded Patriots team.
At the end of the day, you know, Coach Belichick is the ultimate leader of this team, and he does an excellent job motivating guys.
We recap a Hall of Fame weekend for Troy Brown.
There's only 19 people that can say they're in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and I'm one of those 19.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Patriots, both past and present, were out in the community this week. First, in Rhode Island, it was the 8th annual Matt Light Celebrity Shootout. As always, his teammates were there to lend their support.
Matt, he has a great event. It's one of the events I enjoy the most to go to and always have a great time. There's great people here.
Fans cheer.
Also, Patriot players delivered books to a Boys and Girls Club in Waltham. It was all a part of the Patriots celebrating volunteerism and highlighting the importance of education.
It's just great being around kids and to have a chance to come out and have a positive impact on these young people's lives when there's so many negative things out there in today's society that tell them to do the wrong things. It's good to come out and try to get them to do the right type of thing.
Welcome back to All Access. It's a huge test for the Patriots coming up this week. Dan Roach checks in on the state of the team.
For the first time in the history of Gillette Stadium, the Patriots walked off the field after their home opener with a loss.
Aaron Hernandez on the ground. That is not good.
The Pats suffered another loss Sunday as tight end Aaron Hernandez went down with an ankle injury in the first quarter. The Pats went out this week and signed 29-year-old Kellen Winslow to help fill the spot.
You know, a situation arose where Aaron got hurt and we're kind of similar, so I thought I could come in here and help out.
The Pats also re-signed linebacker Nico Koutavidis, as well as wide receiver Deion Branch, whose locker was never cleaned out following his release just prior to the opener.
That was good to be here, you know what I'm saying? I love it here. It's where I want to be, so it's always good, man.
You know, there's just a lot of stability that, you know, he's that kind of player, dependable, consistent. So we'll see what kind of role he plays.
One storyline this week has been the Pats putting up only 18 points against Arizona, and with that, questions, such as, should the Pats pass more? Why isn't Wes Welker playing more? Well, number 12 has only one answer.
I think it's wins and losses. I think that's the only stat in the end that really matters. So whatever we need to do to win, that's what's important. It's not how many runs or how many, you know, who gets the passes or who gets the yards or, you know, it's a running back or... It's ultimately about scoring points.
He hooked it. No good. No good. He missed it. And the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Meanwhile, the Patriots face a tough task Sunday night in Baltimore against the Ravens team that has won 11 straight at home in a game that the players and fans probably had circled on their calendars as soon as the 2012 schedule came out.
The atmosphere is going to be—it's going to be crazy. It's the atmosphere you like. It's the atmosphere you like going out to and playing in. So, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a tough game, definitely. I mean, they're competitive. They got big players. They got fast players, and we got to be ready.
Hard to believe that one of these two teams that just met in the AFC Championship this past January will be 1-2 following this game. Now, as for bouncing back from a loss, Well, since 2003, the Patriots are 27-3. As for the Ravens, they've won 13 straight. Sounds like the old irresistible force meeting the immovable object. From the CBS scene in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriot linebacker Gerard Mayo, and I do want to talk about the mood of this football team right now coming off the loss you guys had last Sunday.
Yeah, I think we're just hungry. You know, guys are ready to get back out there on the field and play a game. So guys are ready to go to work and improve.
So nobody's down in that locker room. You put yesterday's loss behind you.
Yeah, I mean, after a win or a loss, you have to get over it fast in this league. And you have another game the next week that you have to prepare for. So, guys, I always tell guys, don't get too high and don't get too low. Just be ready to go to work.
Being a captain on this football team, is it your role, do you feel, to wake this team up when it needs a wake-up call?
Sometimes, at times.
And have you done that?
Yeah, I think I have at times. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, Coach Belichick is the ultimate leader of this team, and he does an excellent job motivating guys. So.
Mm-hmm. In week one, you guys shut down Chris Johnson. Last week, it was Larry Fitzgerald. Who do you think it will be this week, and Ray Rice, and can you do that?
You know, Ray Rice is a great player, but they have a lot of weapons on that offense, a lot of team speed. It'll take another group effort. It'll take 11 guys on each and every play.
Belichick won't have to say anything to you guys this week as far as getting you guys ready for this game. Because right. It seems like last week you didn't really believe that they were that good, that Arizona was that good. This week you know Baltimore right. is that good, right?
I think we knew that Arizona was good. You know, they just came out and executed better than we did. But at the end of the day, Baltimore is always a tough game. It's going to be a physical game. And if you like football, this will be a game to watch.
How do you stop Flacco?
Just try to get him off the spot. And like I said, it's going to take 11 people. It's going to take the pass rush. It's going to take good coverage and zones and man coverage. And it'll take 11 people to stop him.
What makes him such a dangerous quarterback? Because I mean, he can throw on the run? Because he can...
He can throw on the run. He can run the ball. He has a great arm. He can throw it deep. And like I said earlier, they have a lot of team speed, and they can take a chunk of yards out in a heartbeat.
Can you take the crowd out of the game right from the get-go?
Because that's what we want to do. Like I said earlier, it's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be tough. The earlier you can get those guys out of it, the better.
And think about the mindset of the Baltimore Ravens, because you know they haven't forgot what happened a year ago in the AFC Championship.
Yet. Oh, I know they're ready for us, but, you know, we're ready for them as well. You know, we know it's going to be a tough game. We know we're on the road. There'll probably be, you know, a handful of Patriot fans there, and hopefully we can make them happy.
All right, Gerard.
All right,
good luck to you.
Thank you.
Gerard Mayo, I guess we'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, Aaron Hernandez went down last week, which is a big loss for the Pats. So, got us thinking, is Aaron Hernandez the most indispensable player on the Pats offense?
Look, besides Tom Brady, the most indispensable player on this team is Aaron Hernandez, and it was proven. He goes out, and what do the Patriots have to do? Not only have to replace him with a tight end, they have to bring in another wide receiver just to replace this guy in the offense. He's so unique in what he does. He's the most indispensable.
We all know how great Tom Brady is, but in terms of freakish irreplaceability, there's one guy. It's Rob Gronkowski. What he means to the running game in terms of his blocking, pass protection in terms of his blocking, his taking up for what Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon and Sebastian Vollmer can't do, and obviously the plays down the field. When the Patriots needed plays, when they needed to get into the end zone in week two, what did they do? They went to Gronk.
All right, Andy, I agree with you on this one. I know Hernandez has become more of a focal point of the offense, but he's not essential for them to win. Remember, he missed two games in each of his first two seasons with the Pats, and the Pats' records while he missed those games, 3-1. All right, this is the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. We'll see you next week.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach rejoins me now, and we talk about the Baltimore Ravens. When the schedule comes out, you look at the way things ended for them last year. Fair to say that maybe they circled this game, and it's a tough game for them. They're coming off a loss. You're coming off a loss. This is a big one regarding the AFC.
Well, sure. The next game's the big game, and this is it. But you know, we've had a great rivalry with the Ravens. They're a great football team, a tremendous organization, and we know this will be a big challenge down there Sunday night. So no doubt about it. I'm sure that they'll be ready to go, and I'm sure we will too. So looking forward to it.
It seems like they're trying to change some of the things that they do offensively, and you watch them play. They're not the line them up and knock you in the teeth. Yet they can do that when they want to. They want to up-tempo some things. How's that going for them offensively? And you look at Flacco. Is he ready to take that next step operating in the speed mode?
Well, I think it's gone pretty well for them. They've made a lot of big plays. They lead the league in first down offense. They lead the league in big plays. So they've done a good job of getting the ball down the field, of creating explosive plays and scoring points. So I think that some of the things they've tried to do and the personnel they've added, their young tight ends, Jones, that they've done a good job of becoming more explosive, and that's showing up in the first two games.
Okay, defensively, I don't want to ask you about Ed Reed because we only got about 5 minutes. We'll be here 20 minutes when you talk about Ed Reed. But number 52, Ray Lewis, same thing for him. But what I want to ask you is he came into camp, it looks 20, 25 pounds lighter, said he doesn't want to come off the field on third down. Do you see any difference with Ray over the years that, you know, he looks lighter, he can cover now tight ends running down the seam in some nickel packages?
Well, I think the biggest thing for Ray or any player like that is just their experience and their anticipation. And what some guys lose in their overall speed or quickness or physical skills, they can make up for with experience and anticipation and recognition and just, you know, kind of getting a jump on things because of they know what or have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. So I think that's definitely the case with Ray and Ed Reed and players like that.
All right, time now for our Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from at M. Worthley. A good question here. Wants to know about the mic. Why does the quarterback point out the mic? Why does he call the number? Does it set protection? Does it do something for the receivers? Why do quarterbacks point out the mic?
Well, just to clarify the assignments. And sometimes if the linebackers are all over to one side, then if you make the mic the true mic, like Ray Lewis, then you're trying to get everybody over to a spot where everybody doesn't have good blocking angles, and sometimes you need to change the mic. It might be make it the safety, you might make it the will linebacker, you might make it somebody else, and just change that position so now the assignments fit better for the play that you have called, and everybody can get to their man the way they're supposed to. So that's really what it is. It's really just an identification thing.
All right, good answer, Coach. If you want to ask Coach a question, you got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots. Hashtag it, AskBB. You're going to be back later in the show with the Bellustrator. What are we going to take a look at? Little Ed Reed? You got an interception?
Yeah, we might have him in there. Yeah, and the Ravens have some explosive players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, Jones, Smith, of course, Ray Rice. So,
sure.
You know, they're always in there.
All right, good stuff, Coach. Coach will be back later. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We follow Ryan Wendell's path to the NFL.
In fact, the league that we were in, he is the only offensive lineman that was league MVP.
And Coach Belichick will illustrate why the Ravens are one of the league's best teams.
And this is the kind of things that Rice does, takes a 10-yard gain and turns it into 45.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, the official shave of the New England Patriots. By Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the New England Patriots.
Back again for another year is our High School Coach of the Week Award, presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. This week, we travel up Route 128 to Reading and honor John Fiore. The Rockets beat Brockton last week, shutting them out in the process. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 in Coach Fiore's name to the Reading High School football program. Congratulations.
1, 2, 3, all in.
This week's player profile is brought to you by Pepsi.
If you were here at Gillette Stadium on either Saturday or Sunday, you were lucky enough to see two tremendous celebrations for former Patriot Troy Brown. We spent some time with Brown over the weekend to reflect on his Hall of Fame career. a career that had a very inauspicious beginning.
I figured out pretty fast that I had to, you know, scrap and fight to get an opportunity to even show what I could do.
After our first practice in rookie camp, you know, I called my dad to check in with him, and he obviously wanted to hear all about what was going on, and said, well, what do you think? I was like, well, you know, there's this one guy, this Troy Brown, you know, guy that he looks like he's pretty special.
When I did get cut in 1994, I missed it tremendously, and I was telling myself then, if I ever get another opportunity to be in that situation again, it won't be easy for him to cut me again, that's for sure.
First down, Troy Brown. What a terrific catch. Touchdown, Drew Bledsoe to Troy Brown.
Even being, you know, a starter for a few years here with this football team, I never had that feeling of just being comfortable or relaxing, because there was always somebody ready to take your place. You know, I was fortunate it took them, you know, almost 15 years to get that done, but that's just the way the business goes.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. When Bill left here in 96, he said, you know, and I was interviewing head coaches, right? He said, make sure you sign Troy Brown.
It's my honor and pleasure to introduce Bill Belichick.
When Bill and Charlie and those guys came back here in 2000, I think my confidence started to build then, and they wanted me to give me the opportunity to go out there and be a starting wide receiver. And then I think in 2001, when he decided to put Terry Glenn, you know, down for the season just for disciplinary reasons, it really gave me a boost of confidence that, you know, this guy and his coaches are really believing in me right now.
Touchdown, Troy Brown!
They really put a lot on my plate to go out there and get it done, and we all know how 2001 turned out for us.
Fires down the field, caught! Troy Brown at the 40! Set to go, snap, ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good! It's good! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
So now you're on the other side,
yeah,
right? And he's playing defense. When you... Was that...
I can't remember.
Blow your mind?
I can't remember what happened that game. I don't have any... I've retired 5 years ago. I don't remember any of those other plays. I really don't. You can show the clip, but I don't remember.
Direct snap to Bledsoe. Fires to the left. It's intercepted. Picked off by Troy Brown.
Once he got the opportunity to flip over and play defensive back, didn't surprise me a bit that he could be effective, you know, in that role.
Broken up beautifully by Troy Brown.
You know, I mean, let's face it, it's Troy, so anything that's in his vicinity he's going to catch, which unfortunately he caught one of mine, which is not that cool.
All right, as I told you, this is the weekend for the Hall of Fame induction, and again, just want to congratulate Troy. Trust me, fellas, nobody deserves to be in this Hall of Fame more than he does. Nobody. Had a great career. Was one of the most unselfish players I've ever coached. And those three banners up there in the corner, he had a hell of a lot to do with. So, Troy, appreciate it. Congratulations.
To be here almost 20 years later is truly a blessing. I'm truly appreciative of what the fans actually thought of my play on the field. I think when they voted me in and when I received so many votes, I think they just reassured me that I did do things the right way and I did play this game the way it was supposed to be played.
For 15 years, Troy Brown didn't adhere to the Patriot way. He defined it.
It's an all-American story. It's the story that we all love. It's the underdog, this eighth-round draft pick that, you know, the team cut him twice, and he's on the street, and then he keeps coming back, and each time he comes back, he just fights and scraps and claws until finally the team recognizes that, you know, this guy is something special, starts to play him more, put the ball in his hands more, and goes on to be in the team's Hall of Fame as an eighth-round draft pick.
That's a special group. You think about the Patriots being in existence since 1960, and there's only 19 people that can say they're in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and I'm one of those 19. That means a lot.
he always knew that he would play in college, and he was very confident in his skills at the collegiate level. Because of his lack of size, he knew that he was going to have to be perfect and be a technician in order to move up the ranks. In fact, the league that we were in the Sierra League at the time, he is the only offensive lineman that was league MVP. Well, the first time I saw him play was first game I was coaching, and I'll never forget the first day that I showed up here. The head coach, because I was the offensive line coach, he tells me, "You've got the best lineman in the state, don't screw it up." And it was just a few weeks before the season started, and he was right. Ryan was the best lineman in the state. And, the first time I saw him compete on the field, it was pretty obvious that he was something special.
Play on three, 1, 2, 3.
I love watching him play. I love talking to him on the phone. I love him coming out here and talking to our kids. He's just such a great example of high school football and what you can become. Somebody that I'm so proud to say that I coached. I think that he would say that a lot of his coaches along the way had small impacts on him that built him to be who he is today.
At center, number 62, Ryan Wendell.
Here at Diamond Bar, we believe in the four A's: academics, arts, activities, and athletics. And Ryan exemplified all of those things to such a great measure that his number was actually retired his senior year. And there's only been about 30, I believe it's 30 athletes that have had their numbers retired. And it's such a special thing to be able to come back 20, 30, 40 years and bring your family and know that number 77 will never be worn here at Diamond Bar again. And I think that says something about what a special, not only athlete, but a special person Ryan is.
That was Ryan Wendell's path to the NFL.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette Pro Fusion. It's Ravens week, and yeah, we can talk about everybody. Ray, T-Sizzle, he's not there. We're going to talk about Ray Rice. You think Ray Rice, hey, runs the ball great. We're not going to tell you how he runs it. He does something else that most backs in the National Football League don't do. He catches it out of the backfield. He's going to be there on third down. There's three routes he could kill you with.
Well, the first one we're going to show you is an angle route. Okay, this sets up every other route. So I'm going to do it out of the backfield.
Our quarterback's under center.
Strong side here. First way, you're going to come up. You're going to show. You get two options. You can go to the flat. You can go up, or you can go in. What you're doing is you're going to plant, and you come right inside. That's the first option right there. Usually confuses the linebackers and gets them, makes them think about what's going on.
Speaking of linebackers, where that's the killer is if that's Brandon Spikes, and he gets kind of out of position. Ray can crease him for about 20. What's the next one?
Next one, we're going to go a flat route.
Okay? So they do that after they hit you on a couple angle routes. Set it up.
You got your thinking. You're thinking. You're careful about the angle route. Keep going. You're right here in the flat, and you're upfield. The next one, this is the home run ball. This is one you really got them thinking, and they're worried about every other route.
You run the angle route, you run the flat route.
Now the linebacker's got two routes that he's seen. Now you're going to row to the same spot. Instead of going out to the flat or back inside, you're going right up the field. Over the linebackers, easy catch, easy touchdown if he can get it there.
So they got a lot of problems to work on this week. Obviously, you got Flacco. He'll sit in the pocket. He'll throw it off the back foot. He'll get it out quick. And a new wrinkle the Ravens offense had this year is that up-tempo offense. I think if they could take one guy, they did it to Chris Johnson, did it to Larry Fitzgerald last week, it's got to be your boy, right?
You got to stop him from running, and you got to stop him from catching the ball. Two huge things that they're going to do.
Okay, put your hands in. That's it for your turf segment. Ready, break!
I'm Jackie Britton with our opponent news. No need for introductions this week as the Patriots travel to Baltimore for a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. It's been well documented how the Patriots have performed historically when coming off a loss. The Ravens excel in this area too. They have won their last 13 games coming off a loss.
This year we have a totally different makeup as a team. We have a totally different outlook on what we're trying to do as a team. So we're looking at this game as a totally different game.
Yeah, I don't think the last game we played against them has really anything to do with this game. We're both coming off of loss last week and, want to get back on track. And, it should be a good game like it always is.
For the latest up-to-the-minute Patriots news, be sure to check out Brian Lowe and myself every day on Patriots Today. Time now for Coach Belichick to preview the Ravens on the Belastrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belastrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. Baltimore defense, seems like it's defense all the time with these guys, Coach.
Yeah, it's a lot of it. Well, it's it starts up front with Hoodie Nada. He plays the three technique for him, although they move him around a little bit. But they're big in there, Cody and Nada. But this is, you know, the problem with Nada inside. He's very disruptive. I mean, here's Cincinnati trying to take a...
Now, three technique, real quick, that's outside the guard.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Right. So the one technique will be on the shade of the center, three technique, shade of the guard, five technique, shade of the offensive tackle. And so here they are trying to run a three-step drop, and, you know, he makes a quick move here, and they can't even get the ball off. So, you know, this guy's very disruptive. He's big. He's athletic. He's long. He's good against the run, and he's a good pass rusher. He makes a lot of big plays for him.
All right, moving on.
Well, in the return game, you know, they're very explosive back there, and Ladarius Webb's done a good job for him. He's had some big plays both last year and in preseason. But, you know, you can see here that he doesn't need a lot of space. He's quick. He's fast. He's got good hands and good vision. He's also very good for him defensively. He plays outside on the perimeter and then inside in the slot. So, you know, big play guy for him.
That's funny. You think Baltimore, you think, you know, big physical guys that like to grunt, and you still got guys like Torrey Smith, you know, that can fly outside. They have some speed.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, they've added Jacoby Jones with the Texans last year. And you can see here he's got good speed, good size, does a good job of, you know, getting the ball up the field in the return game. Ravens are always good on special teams with Coach Harbaugh. They're very well drilled there. So they're explosive in the return game. They're a good kick-blocking team. They're really strong in the kicking game, so it'll be a big challenge for us. And, you know, Jones has been a good addition for him. Webb's done a good job on the returns.
Okay, moving on here.
Offensively, this is, you know, of course, it always comes back to Ray Rice and play action here to Ray Rice. So this sets up, you know, nicely where they, you know, fake inside to him and then get the ball down the field to Torrey Smith. And you can see from this wide-angle view, this is Smith down here at the bottom of the screen. Starts in here, runs a post move, and just builds speed, runs away from the Cincinnati corner, and, you know, it's a quick 50 yards.
It seems like this is the first week, you know, and it's week three, but you got a quarterback that won't hesitate. He can make every throw off the back foot, the deep out, the comeback, the quick slant, the deep ball right there.
Absolutely. He can make all the throws down the field, and also just has a nice touch to his tight ends and to, you know, using Ray Rice in the backfield. Of course, this is Rice here, and he's dangerous on a lot of plays. He's dangerous outside. He's dangerous inside. He can cut the ball back. He's an excellent receiver. But this is what a lot of Ray Rice looks like right here, downhill. Finds an opening in the defense.
That's a nightmare right there.
Yep. You know, it's one-on-one with a free safety. And, you know, we talk about the mark of a good back. It's a guy that can make a lot of yards on his own. And this is the kind of things that Rice does. Takes a 10-yard gain and turns it into 45.
You know, we've seen Stephen Ridley do this for you guys this year. You know, you get the open space, he'll make that first guy miss.
Right. So Rice is, you know, he's really the center of the offense for him. In a passing game, nobody's caught more balls out of the backfield than he has in the last 4 years in the NFL. He's been a very dynamic and productive receiver. They'll not only screen to him and then throw him short routes, but they'll also run him deep down the field on routes like this, wheel routes. And, again, when he gets into the secondary, he's elusive, he's strong, gets a lot of yards on his own, hard to bring down.
When you have a back like that and he's that good at catching the ball, does that create problems for you personnel-wise because you don't think, oh, wow, they bring their third down back in, we can adjust, get our nickel in, that it almost makes you stay with what you do defensively?
Yeah, and he's so good at everything. He can either handle the ball in the running game or they can throw it to him, so you don't want to be too light in the running game, and you want to make sure you can match up on him coverage-wise. So he's a tough guy to match up on.
All right, Coach, big game, primetime game. Get back on track.
All right, thank you.
Good luck. All right, there's your Belastrator. We'll be back with more of All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bank of America, the official bank of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All
Hi, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week on Totally Patriots, defensive back Steve Gregory sits down with us in Pat's Chat.
I've been a lot of different places. I've been to Greece and Italy, which was pretty awesome. I loved it out there.
And we'll get to know a little bit more about rookie Chandler Jones, including an interesting talent he has.
I mean, I can flare my nostrils.
What?
Plus, I'm looking for who has the best Ray Lewis entrance impression. It's going to get a little crazy out there. We hope you'll join us. Saturday morning at 10 on MyTV 38.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And were you guys as shocked as I was over that loss on Sunday to the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I don't know if anybody listened to the prediction portion last week, but I thought it was going to be an easy win. I thought the home opener and all that stuff. Listen, give Arizona some credit. They were, better than expected defensively, and I think they forced a lot of the bad play by the Patriots.
How can you not be shocked? I mean, the Patriots hadn't lost a home opener since Gillette Stadium opened in 2002, and we talked about the game leading up to it. I think everyone thought the Patriots would win and that they were a lock.
All right, and now this team has some issues they have to address. Losing Aaron Hernandez, that's a big loss. Is this guy irreplaceable?
Well, I mean, he is a big loss. And, like, to use Mike's word, you don't want to sugarcoat it and just say, well, I've seen this team get by with so many individuals out of the lineup. But he is a guy they clearly wanted to be the focal point of that passing game and that offense in general. He does a lot of different things.
The thing that stands out to me on Hernandez is he lines up all over the place.
Right.
One play, it's receiver. The next play, it's
in
on the line.
Field.
The next play, it's in the backfield.
Right.
So as a defense trying to defend that, you're spending a lot of time accounting for number 81. Now it makes life easier for the defense, and for the Patriots, you might need now two players to maybe help you account for that loss. Maybe that's why Deion Branch is back. Maybe that's why you're bringing in Winslow. You need two guys to make one Hernandez.
How will Branch help this team? He already knows the system. Okay, were you guys surprised that, as a matter of fact, they never even took his nameplate down?
Yeah, no, I think we all sort of expected him to be back, and based on the way he sounded, last week, he expected to be back, I think, at some point. So it makes some sense. Obviously, the level of familiarity with the system is a big key. He can step right in. And it's funny, I think in 2010, it was Baltimore, wasn't it? Mike, you're good at these things. Didn't he come back with that trade?
Mm-hmm.
He stepped right in and caught a touchdown pass against the Ravens, and he's going to play against Baltimore.
So it makes sense to me that Deion's back. I guess what doesn't make sense to me, Steve, is why he ever left. You know, I thought it was a surprise when he was let go at the final cutdown. They traded for a player and gave up a late-round draft pick in 2015 that they had for 18 days. Let's see what happens if Greg Salas is back in the practice squad. But just that whole transaction, something doesn't add up to me there.
And here's another thing that doesn't add up, this whole Wes Welker situation. Okay, the fact that here's a guy who led the league in receptions a year ago and didn't even start.
I don't think this has anything to do with any sort of conspiracy about a contract or any of this other stuff that, you know, our colleagues and we're sort of part of in the talk show circuits. I think this is a football decision that Bill Belichick is making. We can disagree with it, but I think it's based in football.
The other point I'd make, this is a one-game snapshot. Welker played more than Edelman in the first game of the season. The second game, he did not. There were 12
more plays.
Well, I think,
Mike, if you go back to the first game, though, there was questions about that game. Where was Wes Welker in that game? And then we said, we'll wait for the second game to see how that transpires, and all of a sudden Welker's not starting.
See, there were questions because his total snaps in the first game were down from what we saw last
year.
But if we're talking about Welker versus Edelman, if that's the debate we're framing here, Welker still played more than Edelman total snaps this season. So, again, it's interesting. I do think it's interesting, but let's not read too much into it just yet.
Okay, Baltimore's next, a team that is waiting in the bushes on the Patriots, a team that's also coming off a loss, and they haven't certainly forgotten about last year's playoff game.
Yeah, it's good. The good news is you have a cupcake on the road this week.
Yeah,
nothing to worry about. Yeah, listen, this is going to be a tough spot. There's no doubt about it. The Ravens, not only talented, but they're angry. And this is one of those teams, and last week in Philadelphia, they feel like, A, they let one slip away, and B, they had some help in letting it slip away. They feel like they were wronged in that game last week. This is not going to be an easy spot for the Patriots.
Will the Pats come ready to play against Baltimore?
I think they certainly will come ready to play, more focused than they were against the Cardinals. The one thing I'd say, different Ravens team maybe than we've seen in the past. Maybe not as aggressive on defense, but more aggressive on offense with a little bit of a no-huddle type attack.
Prediction time.
Yeah.
Since you guys were just so right last week.
Exactly. 31-10. I don't know what you were missing last week. But I do like the Ravens at home. I think they find a way to. I don't think this will be a blowout. I think the Patriots will play a much better game. I think it'll be a physical game and more of a look, maybe 24-16. I like the Ravens in a real rock fight.
I also like the Ravens. I'll go 24-20 in a good game.
Flacco scare you?
Anybody?
Yeah, playing better now, Steve. He contract year,
too. He lacks consistency, but yes, he has the talent to scare you.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great and safe week, everyone. See you later.